here's a story from The World.
For the first time, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration approved three types of electronic cigarettes. The FDA said the benefits of e-cigarettes, specifically helping people quit smoking conventional or combustible cigarettes, those outweigh the risks that another generation could get hooked on nicotine. The ruling is kind of confusing. Our big question in The World's newsroom, how does the U.S. compare with other parts of the world when it comes to regulating e-cigarettes? Cliff Douglas heads up the University of Michigan Tobacco Research Network in Ann Arbor. So let's get to the global comparisons in a minute. But first, Cliff, be specific. What exactly did the FDA approve this week?
The FDA approved, or authorized is the technical word, three versions of an e-cigarette with the name of Vuse, V-U-S-C. And what the FDA determined is that the company proved sufficiently that this set of products are intrinsically significantly less hazardous than combustible tobacco products, and will serve the needs of addicted adult smokers in the United States who are looking to quit smoking and find a less hazardous way of using nicotine, short of quitting all products and all nicotine altogether.
So today, what kind of e-cigarettes are available to buy in the U.S. just by going into a store, and who can legally purchase them?
The minimum age of purchase is now 21, which has been the law since early last year. And that has been very helpful, by the way. For decades, of course, the minimum age was 18, and that exposed high school seniors to legal purchasing, and then they would share it with, you know, younger schoolmates, et cetera. But at this point, we still have many different types of e-cigarettes on the market. Only Vuse has been authorized legally, but some other products are under review by the agency, and the agency right now is implementing what they call enforcement discretion to permit at least some e-cigarettes to remain on the market. They do have a menu of remaining applications that they haven't announced decisions on, such as Juul, which everyone tends to be familiar with the name of, and also some other products.
So leaving the United States, if I go across the border to Canada, what kind of e-cigarettes are available and how do they compare in terms of nicotine content?
Well, nicotine content tends to be lower in many countries where e-cigarettes are sold, including in Canada. Canada has a system that is somewhat similar to the U.S., but one of the key differences is that they apply a sort of across-the-board product standard, while right now the FDA is doing this on a case-by-case or product-by-product review process, which is much more cumbersome and frankly, a little bit more difficult for folks to understand and know what to do with. So Canada is doing somewhat better, I would say, from a public health perspective than the U.S. so far.
So that's Canada. Let's spread it out further around the globe. Start with places where e-cigarettes are widely available now, and there's a growing market.
I think we should remember here, and we haven't said it yet, that cigarette smoking remains the leading preventable cause of premature death worldwide. Millions of premature deaths every year, and nearly 500,000 in the United States alone. The way that countries are addressing this varies quite a bit. Around 30 countries have flat bans on the sale of nicotine-containing e-cigarettes. Most other countries have some guidelines on what products can be sold and will have some nicotine concentration limits. One of the best examples to look at as a model is England, where over half of people who have quit smoking by vaping have now even quit vaping too. And the reason is that they have an effective public health and medical approach that most other countries have not employed, where they promote harm reduction and quitting using less hazardous alternatives. They carefully control the market. They restrict advertising to ensure that it appeals only to adults who smoke. And like the rest of the European Union, which they used to be a member of, they limit nicotine levels in ways that give adults what they need without recruiting a lot of kids into addiction. That's the kind of comprehensive approach that the U.S. really needs to be moving toward.
Cliff Douglas heads the University of Michigan Tobacco Research Network. He's also an adjunct professor at the University of Michigan School of Public Health. Cliff, thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Marco.